Welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. I haven't been here for a couple weeks, but now I have a guest live in the studio. I'm joined by stand-up comedian Chris Gaskin. Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going.
It's going.
This is not a stand-up comedian's usual hours.
No. Yeah, you had to get up in the morning before noon.
Yeah, it's... Not my preferred stand-up comedian. Waking up at like 2.
Well, thank you for coming all the way out to the UBC campus. This is CITR 101.9 FM, and we're broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver on the University of British Columbia campus. And so Chris Gaskin is a local Vancouver comedian. He works through Yuck Yucks and does shows all over town, tour all over Canada. ChrisGaskin.net.
That is my website. Yeah, someone took .com.
Yeah. And, is there another Chris Gaskin out there?
No, they are cyber squatting that. So that's really nice.
You should probably buy it now before you get too famous, because then they'll want you to cough up more.
Yeah, I think I'll just stick with .net. And okay. Yeah, I'm not coughing up a bunch of money for that, because it was like, I used to have .com and then I didn't re-up on it.
Oh.
And it was literally like 2 weeks after I didn't re-up on it. It was snagged, and then it was like one of those websites where there's nothing on it except like, hey, if you want to buy this domain, and I'm like, that's not technically, you could like, I guess, file a complaint with the FCC or something.
Really?
And try to get that. Yeah.
No.
But it's like technically they just bought it so they could sell it, and it's like, I'm not paying.
All right.
They'll ask a ridiculous amount for it.
All right, moving on. Did you even ask how much it was worth?
No.
No.
But I'm certain they'll figure that I've got like a couple grand ready to purchase that,
and
I'm like,
no, they should have done their research.
I'll just go with ChrisGaskin.net. That's my website that I have to update way more. But
okay, so ChrisGaskin.net, and so you're a local comedian, and you know, I wanted to talk about happiness, and because this show is about psychology and happiness and spirituality. So, and I know you're, I mean, you don't really seem like the most spiritual dude.
No.
What is your viewpoint? Like, do you have a theory on life?
To live it. That's my theory.
Yeah.
I don't really have a theory on life. I just try to make it each day. That's all. Mm-hmm. I realistically, my theory is we are here to breed and make more humans. Is that...
But we're overpopulated.
Oh, no, we are already overpopulated. I completely agree with that. That's why I pretty much don't want kids, but it's that's kind of what we're here for. That's our biological urge, is to just suck all the life out of this planet.
Oh, okay. So you think so when people are like searching for their life purpose and the meaning of life, you think it's just to breed
and
until
dig up
we
more
kill
coal.
Ourselves off?
Yeah, and dig up more coal. That's all.
Fabulous. Yeah. Okay. So this cynical viewpoint is brought to you by... So the reason that I wanted to have you, Chris, on the show is because I just felt like, I mean, we get along really well and have lots of fun laughing and stuff. And I want to do, like, this show has been on for, I think, 7 years now, a little over seven years.
Great.
Thank you. I'm kind of thinking about maybe bringing on a co-host or maybe a series of co-hosts. I don't know. So if you're listening and you want to give us your feedback on, I don't know if I can convince Chris to help me out with this show once in a while, especially because he has to get up before 2 p.m.
Yeah.
to get here. That's a bit of a stretch for you. I know it's hard.
It's doable.
But anyway, so you can email me spiritualshow@gmail.com. And I should really change the name. My email address. But anyway, spiritualshow@gmail.com. If you want to give me your feedback on what you think of Chris, if we should have him back in to actually interview someone with more of a cynical viewpoint.
More of a less cynical viewpoint?
Or
more of a cynical?
I think you're kind of cynical.
Yeah, I know. I'm very cynical.
Yeah. I'm not. I'm only sometimes cynical.
Yeah.
So generally, I'm just sort of like, wow, that sounds really good. So if you just sprinkle fairy dust, it'll like everything will work out. Tell me more. So I'd like to have your viewpoint. So anyway, spiritualshow@gmail.com. So, Chris, one of the things that's, I guess, kind of unique about you as a human, is that you were born with a heart defect, and I think that's kind of
congenital heart defect.
Yeah, yes. And that's kind of formed your some of your views on the world. So
yeah, it's definitely formed my cynicism.
Really?
Absolutely, it has. I mean, when you're born with such a defect like that, I mean, you know, the heart's one of the major organs in the body. If that's, it's not like if a kidney stops, you've still got another kidney, and, you know, just don't drink as much, I guess, is basically that. But if the heart stops, that's it. Game over. You know what I mean? So I have become cynical strictly because of that, because I look and I realize how short life is. So I really don't have time for nonsense. I really don't.
That's an interesting viewpoint, because I would think that someone, you know, because you hear about people who've had like a near-death experience or someone gets cancer, and then they're just, I mean, I think what you're saying in a much more sarcastic and cynical way is that every moment is precious, but you're just kind of.
No, there's a lot of time in my life that's not precious moments, but it's like, yeah, there's definitely, I believe that you have to try to live life to the fullest and try to be as happy as possible. So it's one of those things where my cynicism has definitely extended how I try to chase my goal of living my life as at least successful enough stand-up comedian that people know who I am. I mean, you know, the odd person knows who I am. That feels really nice. And also kind of is interesting, the odd time that I'm stopped in the street. Hey, you're Chris Gaskin, right? Yeah, I am. How do I know you? No, I saw you perform. Oh, okay, cool. But it's like, it's, you know, it's something that I'm really working towards and working hard towards, because I realize how short life is. So, but I don't think every moment's precious. Let's just be honest, all right? There's a lot of downtime on this planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So yeah, I want your opinion on this guy Chris Gaskin that we have here, because I might have him help me out with the show, co-hosting. So email spiritualshow@gmail.com. Let me know what you think of Chris. Might help if you like put that in the subject line, what I think of Chris. But don't, yeah. Oh, I won't forward them on unless
okay.
They're really funny.
I was going to say, please. Hey, come read this right here.
But if it's funny, you can take a joke, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's one of the beauties of having such a great sense of humor, is there, people have said atrocious things to me that I knew were just all in good fun and all meant to be a joke, so I'd never take it personally. So yeah, if it's funnier than it is hurtful, then you've got my approval.
See, I can dish it, but I can't take it out. Yeah. I'm super sensitive, as you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and as everyone here, everyone who listens to this show knows, because I regularly cry on the air. And there's Chris from DJ Chris Terrific for the next show coming up here on CITR. So, okay, let's talk about, I want to talk about your album, because you have, so Chris has an album that's been out for a couple years, right?
Yes.
And you're working on a new one to come out in the next year or two, right?
I am working on a new one to come out in the next year or two.
It's called Lambda Male.
Yes.
And you kind of, okay, so if I wish we had a webcam here so you can see what Chris looks like. So Chris is like an adult, 28-year-old man, but people think, like, when we're out hanging out together, people sometimes think you're my son.
Yeah, that has happened a few times.
Yeah, and I don't look that old.
No.
I'm in my, like, mid-30s now-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. And every time someone says that, I'm like, it's like a punch in the face. Like, yeah. Look how old you are. But you, I mean, you look really young.
I do look really young, for especially for someone who's 28. And it is one of those things where I do hear often, oh, you look young, that's great. And it's like, it's not great at 28. It's great, you know, when I'm 50. That's when it'll be great. But right now, it's like the worst. It's literally every time I'm going into a bar or something, there's always someone that's like, do you have a seventh piece of ID? And I'm like, no. He's like, this one looks fake. I'm like, it is. Who has six pieces of ID? All right, just beat it. What's the matter with you?
You get, I mean, everywhere you've got your ID.
Oh, I already have it out. I already have it out because I know. I know what I look like. And that's the thing is I am quite self-aware of who I am and what I want to be and what I look like especially. So when people say something like, oh, you look young, but they say it like I don't understand that, it drives me insane because I'm like, why would you – it would be like me walking up to a guy 6'5" and going, oh, wow, you're tall. Of course he knows that. Because he's dunking on fools all the time, you know? That it's like, I know what I look like. And, yeah, sometimes it is a bit of a pang, especially, you know, for other people around me, such as yourself, who is really, you aren't that much older than me. But then when, you know, people say, oh, this is your son, it's like, yeah, trust me, you aren't the only one that feels like that's a punch to the face. That I feel that way, too, because I just want to be respected as a man. And it's so tough when everyone looks at me like a child.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Like, I mean, when you call yourself a lambda male, so you have this joke about alpha males and...
Yes.
I don't know if you want to tell it on the air, but...
So, basically, the premise was... And here's the thing is it was an experience actually recording the CD. But the thing with the CD was, like, I was coming up with a name for it, and I had this joke about how I'm not an alpha male and I'm not a beta male. Because in society, you kind of have, like, an alpha male, beta male, an omega male is how they look at it.
I never heard of an omega male.
Well, they're all those an omega male, I guess.
Is that the Dungeons and Dragons with the pushing up that we were talking
about?
Oh,
yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that would actually be a prime example of one. It would be anyone from...
No offense to anyone who plays Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, not from you, but from me. No, I'm kidding because, you know, I play Dungeons and Dragons video games, but not...
You do?
Well, with the lore behind it, not actual Dungeons and Dragons, but it's like there's some video games that I play that have that lore behind it. That's neither here nor there, all right?
Okay.
I'm trying to discuss how I came up with the title for my
Lambda,
CD and like
Lambda.
How. So I've always, because of how I look, looking as young as I do and being the fact that I'm only 5'2", it made especially... A few years ago, it made my dating life insanely difficult because I looked like a child. And it's like, that's how people would perceive me. Even though the second they hear me talk, they go, oh, he's definitely not a child. So I kind of had this realization that I'm not the alpha male in the room or I'm not the beta. Even though I know that a lot of times I can be the alpha male in the room. I totally understand that, but it's not how I'm perceived by others, even though there are a lot of times where I will take charge and I will start to show everyone that, like, I can be the leader in the room. But if you initially look at me, that will never be your perception. So the joke was, I'm not an alpha male, I'm not a beta male. I'm more like a lambda male. And that wasn't originally the line. It was like epsilon or like some another Greek letter. And I was just trying to find what's the funniest Greek letter. And then I said lambda male, but if you get me alone, I'm a bad man. So it's a dumb joke. It really is. But it would always get a laugh. And half of that kind of upset me because I'm like, really, you're laughing at that? But the other half of me is like, yeah, I wrote that joke. I wrote that joke.
But doesn't, I mean, I just would get, I get the sense that it would be, I mean, isn't it a self-fulfilling prophecy to just call yourself that?
I guess you'd think so, but it's like I'm calling myself that in jest. Mm-hmm. Like I'm doing it to make an audience laugh. I'm not actually, I don't view myself that way. The way that I talk about myself on stage is not the way that I view myself. It's the way that other people view me. It's the way that the world views me. And that's what I'm trying to point out. So it's like I have gotten into arguments with people who talk about how I have self-deprecating humor, and they say, you know, you shouldn't be so self-deprecating. You shouldn't be so self-defeating. And I'm like, it's not self-defeating to me. To me, it's me pointing out how everyone else looks at me and me going like, that's not me. Now, I don't say that's not me, and I don't try to flip the script as much, but I like pointing it out and going, this is silly, right? That you would just assume that of me. Mm-hmm. So I don't really think it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I really try to point out what society thinks of short men or of people who look young. That's what I'm trying to point out. I'm not trying to explain myself in that moment. And it's also the first thing people see when I hit the stage. So it's something that kind of has to be addressed.
All right. Well, we are talking right now with local stand-up comedian Chris Gaskin, and you can find him at chrisgaskin.net. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. I have a website. Happyshow.ca is my new website. You can go to spiritualshow.com, but I haven't updated it in forever. Or you can go to happyshow.ca, and I haven't updated that in a couple weeks, but I got to get on it. So anyway, we will be back with more Synchronicity in a couple of minutes.
The Vancouver Queer Film Festival runs this year from August 13th to 23rd. Check out spotlights on homebrewed Canadian craft, deeply moving Latin American films, gender debunking heroes, and a ton of youth-rated films. For more information, as well as tickets, six packs, and super passes, visit queerfilmfestival.ca.
Get ready to dance, eat, and enjoy at the 15th Annual Latin Summer Festival. The festival takes place next to Trout Lake in John Henry Park on Sunday, August 16th. Free admission, parking available, but the SkyTrain is recommended. For more information, visit latinsummerfest.com.
Hempology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101UBC. Or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we're joined in studio here by stand-up comedian Chris Gaskin.
Yeah. Some nights.
Some nights.
Yeah, other nights it's not really, it's a disaster, but.
Well, you're still doing your...
Yeah,
your comedy, I it guess. Doesn't may, might not be as good. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I've been thinking about having maybe a co-host or a series of co-hosts or helpers or whatever, just to, after 7 years of me sharing all my issues on the air, I thought it might be, you know, I mean, I'm getting so much better as a person. I figure I should bring in another messed up human.
Oh, okay.
To that's, help me.
That's what this is then?
I let's, think so, yeah.
Let's try to fix
it,
you.
It helps. Huh? Okay. It helps me feel better about myself when I can look at you and where you're at. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
Anyways.
I'd say that's a fair assessment, though.
That's why people watch shows like Hoarders.
Yeah.
Because my house seems so much cleaner when I look at that.
You never see any rich people on Hoarders, by the way. You notice that? Like, no one's walking over to Jay Leno going, like, you got too many cars. We got to get rid of some of these cars.
Actually, I saw an interview. This was a long time ago on one of those entertainment shows or something.
Yeah.
And it was some star, some celebrity. I can't remember who. It might have been Lindsay Lohan or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And she had, like, so many clothes. She had, like, a house full of, like, she was a bit of a hoarder.
Yeah.
I mean, when you can pay someone to come in and clean, it helps a little bit. But, yeah, there was just so much stuff. And I don't know if it was Lindsay Lohan, but it was someone. And, yeah, so I think you can still be a hoarder. But they're, like, yeah.
That's where you need, like, the MTV Cribs to find all of the hoarder celebrities and just go house to house.
Busted.
Like, look at this. And this is my room. Don't go in there. Don't go in there. You can step here and here and here and here.
And that's it.
That's it.
All right. Well, so I'm thinking about bringing in a co-host, thinking about maybe having Mr. Chris Gaskin help me out as a co-host.
Mister.
He's straightening his bow tie.
I'm not even wearing a bow tie.
Yeah, but it's like a mimed bow tie. Yeah. Yeah, we have to get a webcam in here. But then you'd have to sit closer to me so we can both be on the webcam and wave at it. Anyway, so spiritualshow@gmail.com. Send me your feedback on what you think of this guy. If you want us to, if you want to hear more from him and his cynical views on the world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because if you're listening and you want to ask those, like, hard-hitting questions, that he might be representing you.
Yeah, I would have no problem doing that. Because, yeah, like I said, I really don't have a lot of time for nonsense.
Well, but we don't have nonsense on this show. Everything is... Don't laugh at me. It's good. It's happiness. We talk about happy things and how to be happy.
I'm not saying that that's not nonsense, but I'm saying, like, I bet from time to time you have a guest on that will say something that even you'll probably have a look on your face like, what, how, why, no. And I would be the person to verbalize that.
I had a cult leader. Well, I later found out,
okay,
that he was a cult leader. Cult is kind of a subjective thing, right?
Yeah.
But he was a cult leader. And I just was sort of like, I'm going to let you, the listener, decide what you think about, yeah, that. I'm just not even going to comment on what it was. A little bit scary. But yeah, I mean, then you could just come out and blatantly be like,
This sounds like a cult.
Yeah. You sound like a cult leader. This sounds like BS to me.
Yeah.
And then you can say that. But I don't, now that I'm moving towards psychology,
mm-hmm,
we don't, I mean, that's what I'm trying to kind of prevent, that sort of type of guest.
Yeah.
Because it did, I just felt like it wasn't in line with my values and I didn't want to be promoting that. Not that there's anything wrong if you have beliefs that are different than mine, that's fine. But I just feel like I want to promote what either works with scientific backup,
mm-hmm,
or I know for myself, you know, that it works because it's helped me. But I want to talk, because we're talking about happiness and psychology, and in the land of comedy, I mean, you think these people are funny and they're up talking to people every night, but I mean, mental illness and unhappiness, yeah, is rampant in the world. I mean, it's, yes, like a breeding ground for messed up people.
Comedians are a bunch of crazy, miserable folk, for the most part. There's some well-adjusted people here and there, and then every other comedian is instantly jealous of that person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you mean you've got a regular home life? How is that possible?
You have friends who aren't comedians?
Yeah. Like, I have friends who aren't comedians, all right? You back,
really,
off that a little,
really,
bit. Yeah, I do. I do. Although my two best friends don't live here in Vancouver. You know, they live up north, 9-hour drive in Prince George, 12 hours by the Greyhound if you want to see some more interesting people, because that's always fun. And by fun, I mean a disaster. And by a disaster, I mean literally a disaster.
But isn't that, I mean, isn't that sort of what you look at? You look at the disasters and the ridiculousness of life, and you find things that are funny about it.
Yes, absolutely. Or I try to look at things that are interesting. So it's like I don't do it as much right now, but typically I tend to read Psychology Today to find out what people have been looking into recently, just to even change my viewpoint on something or to get more of a defined viewpoint on something. Like, I like to talk about relationships because I've watched, I mean, I know for a fact that I'm not the best in relationships. I really try to be good, but it's like, it's the whole knowledge versus application. I am really not great at the application part, but I can watch other people who are in a relationship and actually break down what's happening and give good enough advice that it would fix a problem. And that's one of the things that I will read in like Psychology Today, and really helped out certain bits of mine. It's helped out, like one of my primary bits is talking about the amount of time it takes people to decide whether or not they would sleep with someone of the opposite sex or the same sex if they're attracted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like one of my marquee bits right now is talking about that. And that was all from an article that I read on Psychology Today. So it's just, like I said, I like to have more of a refined and defined viewpoint. So I try to look into stuff like that.
Cool.
Yeah. So like that, I don't want to burn all my material on.
No, don't tell everyone. You have to go see Chris at, well, I don't know. I mean, I know you're on contract with Yuck Yucks.
Yes.
So I don't know if you're allowed to promote other show, like if you do a show that's not with them. I don't know the rules, but.
I think sometimes they have an issue with competing shows, but it's like even these one-nighters around town, that it's like realistically they shouldn't have a problem with those.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting industry, especially in Canada, because I really don't want to slight the company that I work for, because they've provided a lot of opportunities for me that I genuinely am very grateful for. And I'm trying to be as loyal as I can to the company that's paying me, you know. So,
because that's the thing, comedy shows around town, like you go to a show and you pay $5 to get in, and there's like 10 or 15 comics. Most of those people aren't getting paid.
No, it really is a career driven by passion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that a lot of people don't understand. Like, I remember talking with my grandparents about doing comedy, and a lot of times them talking about like, well, you know, they aren't paying you. And it's like, well, I'm not up there for an extended period of time, or I'm just there to try out some new idea that I thought of, or, you know, I'm not even trying out anything. I'm just trying to polish up something.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a passion, and it's something that's driven by passion. So when you get people who aren't as passionate in that business, you do get some pushback from other comedians. Like, it's also very competitive, and at the same time, it's a very, like, at least Vancouver is a very welcoming community. It is very competitive, but it's very welcoming as well. Like, there's a lot of comedians here in Vancouver that I sit down and watch because I genuinely enjoy what they're doing. A lot of like younger acts, Carl Turnbull is like, he's very dirty, but so smart with his writing that it's like, I watch him and I'm blown away all the time. someone like Joey Camiso, who's just like has this instantaneous way about him that if you look at him, you kind of go like, yeah, I think this guy's going to be funny. And like his cadence and his writing style, like he's a legitimately funny guy. And there's countless comedians that I can name. I can spend the better part.
Well, they're not here. We're here to talk about you. Yeah. And we're here to talk about stuff for the show. So when you're talking about it's a career driven by passion. Yes. And there's not a lot of money in it unless you're in the top like 1% of the industry, which is kind of the same with radio,
it's
too,
the
right?
Same with everything.
Yeah. But I was reading yesterday in The Province. Mm-hmm. I don't have my phone with me. I took a picture of the article so I could read it. But I think it's in Denmark or somewhere. They're doing an experiment for something called a GAI, a guaranteed annual income.
Yes.
That gives everyone a certain amount of money, whatever is like 20 grand a year or whatever. And then if you work, they sort of take a little bit off and whatever. And they apparently did that in Alberta, or no, sorry.
Winnipeg
or
somewhere in
Manitoba. Yeah, small town in Manitoba for 4 years. And they showed that just in 4 years,
yeah,
there were fewer dropouts from high school. They lowered the admission rate into the hospital by significantly.
Wow.
Like for mental health challenges, accidents, and something else. I can't remember what. But so it's actually reduced. It shows that it reduces healthcare costs. It helps everyone as a community be stronger. And I'm wondering from a comedian standpoint, yeah, from having to struggle, what that would mean to you or other comedians.
Well, I mean, it would be something where I try not to base my life on a fear of failure. I try to base my life more so on the drive to succeed. Like, I really want to succeed at what I'm doing. But that fear is always kind of lingering. I just don't let that be the driving force in what I do. And it's there to make me work hard to make money as I'm trying to chase my goals. But it's like, man, if I had a guaranteed annual income that I could use to not worry about the other minutia of my life and then just focus on my career, I think I'd be so far ahead of the game that it is a very interesting concept, and it's something that literally, you have so much wealth among such a small number of people that it drives me insane that the amount of unhappiness on this planet, like that would definitely be a contributing force. It's much like, for example, with Colorado and Washington down in the States legalizing marijuana and how that dropped the number or the amount of marijuana usage among teens, that dropped the amount of crime, that dropped like a bunch of stats and raised a boatload of money for those two states, enough so that they actually had to pay pay the population back. But I think something like that would definitely help people chase their passions, because then they wouldn't have to worry as much.
But then don't we, I mean, very few people would be passionate about picking up the garbage, scrubbing toilets, doing things like that. So don't you think that, I mean, we need people to do those jobs.
Absolutely we do. And that is the catch-22. I mean, I'd be interested to see how a community who has taken on that type of experiment, I'd be interested to see what the infrastructure looks like in there. Because it's like, you also have to understand that a lot of firefighters are volunteer firefighters, that it's not realistically a huge career. It's still a career for a lot of people, but it's something that like a lot of firefighters, especially among smaller communities, that's all done volunteer.
But the difference, it's interesting because I've my friend Ron, you've met Ron, and sometimes we like philosophize about what life would be like if things were different. And I was like, we should have a community based on like appreciation. And because jobs that are valued, I mean, look at television, movies, hockey players, they make more than doctors.
Yeah.
They make more, especially than teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most important and influential people we need and rely on get very little appreciation.
Yeah.
I mean, and there a few years ago, there was a garbage strike. I don't think you were living in Vancouver when that happened, all throughout a summer. I think you were still in Prince George. But anyway.
I was probably still in Prince George. And luckily, that just happened in Toronto. And I was in Toronto for almost a month, and it was literally like right after I left, they had a garbage strike, and I was like, oh, thank you for not having that while I was here, because Toronto, there's so many people, like the population's so dense there,
mm-hmm.
that it's like, man, just every, that's one of my theories on why people from Toronto are perceived as jerks, is I think just like that, because I really love that city. I have a lot of fun while I'm there, and I love.
What does that have to do with appreciating garbage men, though?
Because I think that's why people from Toronto are perceived as unhappy, is every once in a while they just get a waft of garbage. So I was working around to it.
All right. But my point is that people that serve us and have such important roles in society don't get appreciation. I mean, I think garbage men here, they're unionized, they get paid quite well, so it's worth it. But I mean, if there was a guaranteed annual income, I think we'd have to focus more on appreciating people because they wouldn't have to do those jobs to get by.
But I mean, that's the same as like raising the minimum wage in my eyes. Is when you raise the minimum wage, you're really helping out society. Or, for example...
How? Really? I disagree.
Okay. But I would say, for example, the idea of... So you and I were talking about the Max Millions with the Lotto Max here in Canada.
In Canada, we have the lottery.
We have a lottery. And it's not like Powerball in the States where it reaches such a ridiculous number. Like there's
like Bunky Bartlett won $82.5 million, and we only got $30 million after taxes.
Yeah. But there's people in the States that like Powerball gets up to like over $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, after taxes, they're walking away with $50 million. But it's like we have $50 million when it starts getting into what's called Max Millions, and then they all draw a bunch of them. So it's like there have been times where it's been $50 million. And then 50 million additional 1 million prizes that could be won.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying, why wouldn't they just give those all away and have them guaranteed winners?
So we should clarify for people who haven't. So to win the big jackpot, you have to get 7 out of 7 numbers.
Yes.
But to win a million, you also have to get 7
out of
7 numbers.
Yes.
And so I was saying, why don't they just have like a guaranteed draw for each of those $1 million prizes, which would be a boost to the economy because you'd have 20 new millionaires.
Who would be putting that money straight back into the economy.
Yeah.
Which is why I think in the long run, raising something like the minimum wage helps out with that because it puts more money into people's hands that gets pumped right back into the economy.
Do you want to hear why I disagree with
raising
the minimum
wage? I do want to hear why you disagree.
The minimum wage? Because, well, and I feel like people should be paid a living wage.
Yes.
But I don't think that just raising the minimum wage is the answer, because what happens is it basically just adds to inflation. Everything gets more expensive. Places like Walmart and mm-hmm. McDonald's can afford to pay higher wages. But there are small businesses that are responsible for a large portion of the jobs in this country that might not be able to afford paying an extra dollar or two an hour. And the thing is that if Starbucks has to pay their employees $2 more an hour, you're paying more for your coffee.
Yes.
And they're paying more for their janitor staff, and it just basically inflates the cost of everything. And then those people who had an extra $2 an hour, everything costs $2 more, so they're right back where they started. I don't think that's the answer.
That's a valid point. I mean, the way that I look at it is it should be more contingent on the localized area rather than the entire province or country. So for example, in Alberta, I think the minimum wage is something like $12, mm-hmm. or maybe $15. But it's like my brother lived up in Fort McMurray for the better part of 7 years and was making a lot of money because he was a welder's assistant. But it's like, I think he was saying minimum wage up there was maybe $15. But because of how expensive everything was, you could start out at a Tim Hortons up there at $21 an hour. Mm-hmm. And that would help people live and get by. And yeah, things were more expensive up there.
But they're not paying $21 an hour because that's what the cost of living up there. They're paying $21 an hour because they want to encourage people to come up to Fort McMurray, because people in Vancouver mm-hmm. will live in the streets so that they can live by the ocean and the mountains and everything. Nobody wants to live in Fort McMurray unless they're there for the money.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's a valid. I've never been to Fort McMurray, though, so I don't know. It could be a nice little town.
I don't know. I haven't heard good things. But anyway.
Yeah, a little bit more chilly than it is here. But
apparently it's really hot in the summer, though, too. And yeah. Anyway. But that's based on its supply and demand. It's not a socialist like purpose. That's not why they're paying people more than you'd get paid here.
That's true. That's true. And that is why something like having a general annual income or guaranteed annual income is such an interesting concept. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely see that helping out with people's happiness. But you do make a valid point of like what happens to the service industry at that point. I mean, I think it would be something where you'd have to pay the service industry well to make sure those jobs keep fulfilled. But it's like there are some people that have those jobs that absolutely love those jobs. There are garbage men that love being garbage men.
Well, the thing is, and I think that if we did have a guaranteed annual income, there would probably be like a growing period. There would be some growing pains. But I think over time, what would happen is that people would pursue their talents and they would pursue the things that they enjoy and that are fulfilling to them. Mm-hmm. And our society, our culture would change around work, and people would do the work, even if it was garbage man or whatever you want to do, it would be for the sake of the work. It would be for the sake of the satisfaction of a job well done, or knowing that you're helping people.
Yes.
Knowing that you're important to the world and you're contributing. And it's interesting because they've done studies. I don't have any studies on me right now. But how do I phrase this? When you look at a community of people, there are always going to be people who contribute more than their fair share, and there are always going to be people who kind of sponge off the system.
Yeah.
But overall, it does tend to balance out, and there are very few people who just take a free ride. Most people, when given the opportunity to contribute, want to contribute.
Yeah. And I think that's why, as I mentioned, that something like the guaranteed annual income is such an interesting concept. But you are right. That is because of something like growing pains. It is something where they would need to have an extended, almost like beta test of that. Is that that is something that couldn't just be, okay, we're going to try this for 6 months. That is something that it's like, we're going to try this for the next 5 years mm-hmm. and see what happens. But that also puts the pressure on the people as well, on the population of that area that's having that done, is having that idea of, hey, in 5 years, if you guys don't have your stuff together, we're taking this away. Because then you'll get people who like, hey, man, these streets are kind of dirty. We need someone to clean them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think that would also promote more of a community feeling, like more of a tighter knit community, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
So it sounds like you think people would work together more.
Yes.
I mean, they're still going to need to have garbage men and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the article said something about, I think the social, what's it called with the social income? Anyway, like the welfare system.
Yes.
The it costs Canada something like $158 billion a year, or $138 billion or something, including all of like the red tape employees and all of that.
Yes.
But to do the annual income would cost something like $58 million. And it would also save money, theoretically, to the healthcare system as well. Because people, I mean, there's more mental health mm-hmm. challenges because if people are stressed about how they're going to pay the rent, they don't know how they're going to eat. If you can't have proper nourishment, you're going to have poor health. You're going to have more yeah. stress. And then if you're stressed, I mean, even the fact that accidents went down shows that people who are stressed about money are more dangerous out there. They're bumping into things. They're in car accidents because they're not able to think clearly because they're stressed about money, or they're lacking in sleep because they can't afford a proper bed, mm-hmm. things like that.
I think that's the old common sense idea. It's just like, as I mentioned with I'm not going to lie. I've dabbled in marijuana here and there, but I've never been a regular smoker. I'm not against it, but it's the idea of legalization in Colorado and in Washington, and people going like, wait, why did the crime rate go down? Well, because one, now smoking it isn't a crime, but two, you're getting it out of dealers' hands.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, why is there such a surplus of money? Because now people are paying the government that, and it's being taxed. So you get this surplus. Like, it's just common sense issues that are so overlooked because a lot of people think of the negatives just straight out the gate. It's the easiest thing to look at. It's the easiest thing to go, well, what about the people who are going to sponge off the system? But that's not the way that psychologically humans are. The psychological point is exactly what you pointed out, whereas most people would rather contribute to the system. And that's what's overlooked. It's mm-hmm. the same as when they were debating legalizing marijuana. Oh, well, more people will smoke marijuana. That might be true, but it'll lower crime rates. Like,
more people would probably smoke it occasionally,
yes.
but you're not going to have more chronic pot users. The people who are chronically yeah. using pot are using it anyway, whether it's legal or
that
not.
That is true. That's absolutely true. So it's like I said, I've, you know, dabbled here and there, but I'm not the person who chronically, and I'm not the person that goes, oh man, it's really helped out my writing. Like, I've written down stuff like a couple times where I've dabbled, and then I've looked at it and went, man, that's, why would I write that down? Why would I think that was funny?
Because you were high.
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
It's more funny. I haven't put your name out there for a while. So we're speaking with Chris Gaskin. He's a stand-up comedian.
The local Radio Reset.
Yeah. He's a local stand-up comedian. You can find him at chrisgaskin.net. He has a couple of podcasts as well. He's yeah. really into, like, wrestling.
I am.
So if you like wrestling,
I love wrestling.
A wrestling podcast.
It is stupid in the greatest ways.
Yeah. And, yeah, so I don't listen to that podcast, but you could.
We are my co-host of that, who's also my cousin, is a huge wrestling fan. But we also really like movies and really like video games. So we're thinking of kind of making that podcast less niche
mm-hmm.
and more of like a general podcast where we can just hang out and have a conversation about things. But we'll still have a primary focus of like wrestling on that. So we're looking into rebranding, but all of that stuff is available on my website, chrisgaskin.net.
Okay. So coming up in just a few minutes here on CITR is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Horrific. He's in the next room. He'll probably come out in a minute. And so I'm thinking about having maybe a co-host or having some people come out. Luz, she was an accounting teacher of mine. She's actually just joined the station and she might be helping out too. She has lots of great ideas. But anyway, so I want your feedback. If you're listening, tell me what you think of Chris. Tell me what you think of the idea of a co-host, if you like Chris, or if you don't, tell me. Spiritual show. I won't necessarily forward it on unless you're really funny. spiritualshow@gmail.com is where you can get in touch with me. And you can go to my website, happyshow.ca. And then, of course, Chris's website is chrisgaskin.net. Not .com, .net. chrisgaskin.net.
That's how I roll.
And when's your next show coming up?
I don't really have much scheduled. I mean, technically, my next show is tomorrow at Kino Cafe. But if anyone's listening to the podcast, that is long gone.
Yeah, but this is also live.
That's why I said it's tomorrow. Okay. I know this is live.
So what day is it? Is it the 10th? It's the 10th.
Yes. So my next show would be I'm hosting at Kino Cafe on Tuesday, August 11th at 9:30 p.m. And that's one of my favorite weekly comedy shows to do is Kino Cafe, because it's regularly you get a fairly decent crowd. And the guy who runs that show had bought the actual restaurant/bar a year ago, which is pretty awesome. And he's always been very supportive of what I do. So I like to pay it back by regularly performing there and working out my stuff there and giving him someone who has grown a lot as a comedian and has grown as a performer. And that's a place where I do regularly perform. Mm-hmm. So I am there every once in a while. I'm regularly at Yuck Yucks on Tuesday nights as well, and try to swing by Wednesdays on their pro-ams just to try out some new stuff.
That's pro-amateur?
Yes, pros and amateurs.
Okay, so you can be an amateur, but you have to, you couldn't just go. If you wanted to try out comedy for the first time, you're probably better off going to Kino, right?
Yes.
Because you have to know, you have to get your foot in the door with Yuck Yucks.
Yes. I mean, you can try out for the first time at Yuck Yucks, and you'll get a bigger, possibly better audience than you would at somewhere like Kino Cafe. But Kino Cafe is literally, it's built as a workout room, which is exactly what Steve Allen, the guy who owns the bar and who books that show, has promoted it as. We'll get up on stage before the show and we'll say, this is a workout room. If you see a comedian at Yuck Yucks, especially on a show on a weekend, come up with a notebook, you should really almost question their professionalism. But if you see that at a show like Kino Cafe, it's like, hey, welcome to the show here. Here's someone trying out a new idea. So it's a very positive place. That's why it is somewhere. And it's among the best $5 you'll spend at a show, because you will see people like me who've been doing it for years, who are polished, who might be working on a new thing here, but will throw in some A material to make sure the show's going well. And then you'll see people doing it for the first time, or just within their first months, and you see how they build and grow as performers. It's really a fascinating business, and it's so much fun. It's also something that I try to explain to people, man, sit in the front row, because
you'll get picked on.
Not
then.
Really. That doesn't happen a lot. A lot of people.
I sit in the back half the time and I still get picked on.
You also shout out every once in a while.
I do not shout
out.
You
do.
No, I don't.
No one's going to say anything if you don't make a noise. If you just sit there and laugh, it's really hard. Or if you're wearing something crazy, that'll get pointed
out. When do I shout out? No. The last time I got picked on, someone said clap. And I said, woo. instead of clapping.
Uh-huh.
I was like, woo! Yep.
Hold on. And let's break this down right now. So what happened? Someone said...
And then the comedian...
To applaud.
Yeah.
And then what did you do? Woo. Did you applaud? No, you went woo. That's...
I was not the only one. Woo is a show of appreciation.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Whatever. Anyway, I want to play a song before we go. And if I don't wrap up now, we won't have time for that. Is okay. there anything you want to say? ChrisGaskin.net. Yeah, if you want to hear more from this guy.
Go to ChrisGaskin.net. You could purchase my album on iTunes called Lambda Mail. Also on Google. On basically Google, Amazon, iTunes. On CD Baby. It's available on my website as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you want to hear more from this guy and you want him back on the show to actually like interview, because I'm kind of interviewing you.
Yes.
But if you were to come back, you know, I'd want you to help me interview other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of just philosophizing about stuff. Although that's fun, but.
Yeah.
Maybe not to people listening so much. So anyway, let me know what you think. Spiritualshow@gmail.com. Hope to hear from you, whether you're listening live or on podcast or on cosmicdimensions.com and powerradio.com, co-creator network, or CITR.ca. We'll be back with more synchronicity next week. Take care. Oh, and here is some Theta Phoenix light in you on CITR.